The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. What kind of man was St. Barnabas? That question is sometimes difficult to answer for some of the saints. A lot of times, they're no more than a name. St. Simon, St. Bartholomew. Can't tell you much about them. But about Barnabas? Well, about Barnabas, the scriptures actually tell us something. Indeed, of all the companions of Paul, Barnabas is the one who is mentioned by name most often. 28 separate instances we have Barnabas's name. That's compared to 24 for Timothy, 17 for Silas, 11 for Mark, and only 3 for St. Luke. Moreover, unlike most of these others too, we actually know something about Barnabas apart from his association with St. Paul. So on this day, let me pause to give God thanks for the life and the work of St. Barnabas. Let's consider, on the basis of the scriptures, just what kind of man this was. Our first introduction to Barnabas is in Acts 4, and there we read the following. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. These few words, we are immediately intrigued and impressed by this apparently new convert to the Christian faith. Now, of course, we'd like to know more, much more, about his background. A Levite from Cyprus. Now, what did that mean about his upbringing and his commitment to the old religion? Why was he in Jerusalem? And how had he become a Christian? Well, we don't know. But we do know something. First of all, Barnabas gives, and he gives generously. And that's never particularly easy to do. And secondly, there's that nickname from the apostles, no less. Barnabas, son of encouragement. Now, in life and in the church, we need encouragers. Of course, we have the best encouragement that there can be right here in the Word of God. But nonetheless, our lives, our inner selves, if you will, are such that we get discouraged, we get downhearted by what happens, by the things that we have to face in life. You name it. Family, finances, health, whatever. They all go bad at some point or another. That's the nature of life in this world. That's the consequence of sin. So we need encouragement, especially since so many of us compound these problems by wallowing in them, indulging in self-pity. Now, Barnabas, I'm sure, had his moments too, but he also had something else, a gift from God, whereby somehow his words, his actions, probably both, he reminded people of the grace and the goodness of God. He encouraged them. But Barnabas was also a risk taker for the sake of the gospel. We see this right away in the sale of his property. It takes trust to sell and then to give. Trust that the God whom you serve will actually provide when the need comes. But Barnabas did that. He trusted, so he gave. Later on, we find him taking another kind of risk, and that was introducing or sponsoring Paul before the Jerusalem church. This is after Paul's conversion, but he was still somewhat of an unknown quantity. The Bible tells us, when Paul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Now, I, for one, have always identified with the doubters in this story. I mean, the conversion of Paul, it was too good to be true. How could anybody ever trust somebody like this man, Paul, who had persecuted the church, who had put people to death for their faith in Jesus, and worse, had even convinced some to apostatize? Why would anybody want to have anything to do with somebody like Paul? Well, Barnabas did. Basically trusting in God more than in men, and following through on what forgiveness really means in the church, Barnabas accepted Paul for what he was now. Oh, sure, he had persecuted the church, no getting around that, but now he was someone whom God had called into his service. Now, if Paul were lying, the consequences would have been dire indeed. But Paul wasn't lying. And Barnabas was not wrong to take that risk. It's no surprise then that when the Jerusalem church was looking for someone to go to Antioch, where Gentiles were starting to join the church in large numbers, it's no surprise that they chose Barnabas, the encourager. And it's no surprise that Barnabas was willing to go. Again, acting on faith, he took the risk that the new church could work. That people separated from Jerusalem by a lot more than miles, I mean, these were former pagans, would respond to the teachings of a Levite. But Barnabas went, and they responded. And Barnabas soon brought Paul into the work so that the two men together, the one a Levite and the other a Pharisee, were preaching the gospel to Gentiles as well as to Jews. So this work in Antioch was more than worth the risk. Not for Barnabas' sake, but for the sake of those whom Barnabas would reach with his teaching about Jesus. But how did Barnabas do all of this, and much more, as we know from later accounts in the book of Acts? Where did he get that strength of character? Where did he get the courage to take these risks, to carry out these responsibilities? Well, the Bible tells us he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. No doubt, Barnabas had natural abilities. In his upbringing, in his education, his training, they too probably prepared him for his work. But the key was the Holy Spirit and faith. These are the transforming elements in the life of a Christian. On our own, our natural abilities serve the old Adam. On our own, upbringing and education can lead at best to civil righteousness. But ultimately, we are all slaves to our own self-interest. And that means sin and death. That was the story of Barnabas. That was the story of St. Paul. It's the story of every man. It's our story too. Self-directed, self-indulgent, sin. But when, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we hear and believe the good news of Jesus, crucified and risen again, well, then something else happens. We become new creatures. And abilities and education, training and skills are applied to new ends, the cause of Christ and His church, so that we too can become encouragers. We too can take risks for the sake of the gospel. Forgiveness in Christ is that powerful. So, what kind of man was Barnabas? Although he must have been an effective preacher and teacher, the scriptures don't actually quote him. They present him as a doer, somebody who believed and then acted on his faith by the power of the Spirit. He did this when he sold his property and gave it to the apostles. He did this when the Jerusalem church sent him up to Antioch to help build up that new church of Gentiles and Jews there. He did it when he took a chance on Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, and he did it again when he joined Paul in the great mission of the church. In each of these instances, Barnabas shows us the power of the Christian religion. A son of Adam, like all of us, but also one about whom the scriptures can write by the grace of God, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. That's St. Barnabas, a pretty good model for all of us. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.